This Sunday, we move out of the Christmas season, into the season known as Epiphany. Epiphany, as you may know, it's like a revelation. It's you realizing something that you didn't realize before. And in this passage that we get this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, we get the baptism of our Lord. But I want to look at the baptism of our Lord through a lens that still connects us to Christmas. See, in Christmas, we talk a lot about Emmanuel, God with us. And I think what we'll see is that in Jesus' baptism, we see another example of how God is with us. But we'll talk more about that when we get there. I want to start with a question. Did you realize that the Christian God, as a God that is somehow both transcendent means far above, you know, kind of unknowable, way different from us, right? Christian God is both transcendent, and then the other word that they use, the sort of opposite, imminent, close, near. I think we take that for granted sometimes, and I think most Christians actually tend to favor one or the other. Have you thought about that? What's your mode of God? What's your mode, main mode of thinking of God? As mostly really close and knowable, or really different from you? Well, actually, God is both. And what we don't realize a lot of the time is that in the grand scope of the religions of the world and gods, this is unusual. There are gods that are very human-like, but most gods are so far different, so far removed, really don't care that much about humanity at all. They are all transcendent gods. But we don't even have to barely crack our Bibles before we find out that our God is not just transcendent, but also personal. Really, really interested in people. Really, really interested in his creation. You see, in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we meet a God first with transcendent qualities, a God who speaks and creates with a word. He speaks and it happens. Transcendent, incomprehensible to us how that even happens. But then, chapter 2, we get the second creation narrative. And how does God create in this narrative? God gets down in the mud and forms human beings with his hands and breathes into them his own breath of life. This story continues as when the fall takes place, when Adam and Eve sin and they eat the fruit. We read that but God, the Father, is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling out for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, where are you? Because this was something that God regularly did, came down to be with and walk with his creation. It isn't until sin that this relationship that was supposed to be close and personal becomes fractured. But even through the big middle of our Bible, right, most of the Old Testament, where God and human beings are farther apart than God would have, we get visions of how this God loves and cares and is close. We heard it in our passage from Isaiah chapter 42. Words like, I'm going to take you by the hand, Israel. Or in the following chapter, verses 1 through 7, we read this. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who he formed, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Does this remind anybody of that song we sang this morning? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons and daughters from far away and from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. This is words out of the prophet Isaiah, who's speaking to Israel that's in exile right now. If you want to talk about a time where it'd be really easy to just think of God as disinterested and transcendent, it would be when you've been completely exiled from your home country and you're in bondage and slavery in another. But instead, God speaks to them through the prophet Isaiah and says, I have not forgotten about you. You are my people. I love you. I'm going to bring you back. These words are saturated with passion, love, grace, mercy. I have called you by name, you are mine. Those are close words. Those are words of someone who knows another person. And perhaps even more stunning, these kind, gracious, merciful words are to a people that were stiff-necked and rejected God. So God comes to them with grace, despite who they were, despite their rejection. And this is really good news, that our God is not just transcendent, but we have a God that actually cares. It's not just an impersonal force, not just something we can't understand, not something that's just really indifferent, that set this whole thing moving and doesn't really care how it all shakes out. There are images of God or gods that are like that. But our God is transcendent and personal. He wants us. We're precious. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to talk with us, walk with us in the cool of the garden. And where do we see that more powerfully than when we talk about God taking on human flesh to be born in our midst? Emmanuel. He came in the flesh. Talk about a personal God. A God that wanted to save us, but wanted to do it by knowing what it was like to be one of us. And to give up his life for us. And so when we fast forward to our passage from the New Testament, the baptism of Jesus, we're seeing this image of the personal, loving God once again. Because why does Jesus need to be baptized by John's baptism? John's baptism was for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. John didn't even want to do it. You know, the other Gospels record how he was arguing, you know, with Jesus, and Jesus says we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Which in other words is saying, this is what the Father wants me to do. Jesus does this. Jesus walks into the waters once again to be with us. Because human beings need the baptism of repentance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus comes, God in the flesh, and walks into that water. Just like one of us. To be an example. And to once again show that this God who is so much different from us also wants to be so close to us. So brothers and sisters, the question for you and I is, I think we really can get the idea of God being transcendent. You know, if there's a God, it's got to be way different from us. I think we get that. But sometimes I think we don't fully grasp how much God wants to actually be in relationship with us. Depending on which faith tradition you grew up in, this may have been more emphasized or de-emphasized. In some evangelical Christian circles, it can kind of be a cliche to talk about a personal relationship with God, can it? But they didn't invent this idea of a personal relationship. It's all throughout the Bible. It's what God wants. The question we have to ask ourselves is our faith simply a system of beliefs? Is it just habits? Is the idea of relating to God through prayer or reading His Word or listening for His voice throughout the day a foreign idea? If it is, that's okay. But you need to know that that's not what God wants for you. God wants you to come. God wants you to be near through prayer, through reading His Word, through being with His people. So I don't know where you are this morning, friends. How much you really grasp that the Creator of the universe, of all that is, looks at you and loves you. Is interested in you. Thinks you're marvelous. I don't know if you let that truth seep in and draw you in. Or if you just prefer to keep God at an arm's length. God died to know you. God died to know you. To be in relationship with you. So it's my prayer, brothers and sisters, that if we are just going through motions, if we are just thinking about God abstractly, maybe this year is the year you can open up your ears and your heart to hear from God in a different way. To pour out your heart to God and say, God, I want you to know me and I want to know you. And gentlemen, I know that's not always, doesn't always seem like the manly thing to do. To look for intimacy with God. But God loves you too. Knows everything about you. There's no amount of facade of bravado or manliness or anything that fools God. So let's just put down the pretense. You have a God that knows all about you and loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. Yield to God. Surrender to that. Let's pray. Oh God, we confess that sometimes we want to keep you far away. It's a frightening thing for us to think of letting our Creator, the God of the universe, to be near to us. God, pour out your love upon our hearts. Disarm us from our fear so that our relationship with you can grow deeper. more true, more as you always intended it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.